I'm going to be reading from Jude this morning. If you would like to follow along in the hymnal that's in your pew, it's on page 1910. I'm going to be reading verses 17 to 23. But the version that I'm going to read is a little bit different. I decided to read from my daily Bible, which is a New Century version, and I just really liked the wording of it. So hopefully you will too. Again, so it's Jude. If you don't know where Jude is, it's the next to last book of the Bible. So if you flip all the way to the back of your Bible, go back one book past before Revelation is Jude. So it's going to be Jude 17 to 23. It's titled A Warning and Things to Do. Dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ said before. They said to you, in the last times there will be people who laugh about God, following their own evil desires, which are against God. These are the people who divide you, people whose thoughts are only of this world, who do not have the Spirit. But friends, use your most holy faith to build yourselves up, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the Lord Jesus Christ with his mercy to give you life forever. Show mercy to some people who have doubts. Take others out of the fire and save them. Show mercy mixed with fear to others, hating even their clothes which are dirty from sin. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your word, and I pray that you prepare our hearts and our minds for what you would have us to learn about you today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, good morning. It's always a pleasure to dig into God's Word, right? It's exciting. And so this is our fourth message on the little book of Jude tucked there at the end of the Bible. And next week, Pastor Bob will take it home with the benediction of this little letter. So Jude starts out his book with an urgent plea. Brothers and sisters, contend for the faith. And then the last 2 weeks, we spent looking at the 12 verses of just a description of apostates. Apostates are people that have forsaken God, and he used historical illustrations and examples, and just really an urgent warning. And then we looked at how we have to be careful of how those same attitudes and actions can creep into our own lives. And so Jude said last week, keep your eyes open. Be aware. Be prepared to guard and keep this most holy faith. Don't let the enemy in. Don't be deceived. It was and is a defensive position to guard against, to protect and preserve this most holy faith. And while contending for the faith certainly includes a good defensive strategy, all sports fans know that good teams possess good defense and a good offense. Now, Denver, we're still trying to figure out if the Eagles have both those. I mean, we're not sure yet, right? Some people say that a good offense starts with a good defense. It seems that Jude recognized that this was true in the spiritual sense as well. In our text today, Jude shifts from a defensive mindset to one of offense. This next set of verses in our text today is a manual. It's an offensive playbook on how to contend for the faith. Perhaps a good illustration is a castle versus a warrior. The castle has a defensive mindset. Imagine if you were a king in a little empire in the Middle Ages, and you feel threatened by the enemies. And so what do? You build a castle with big, high, thick stone walls. And then you build a big, deep moat all the way around the castle so that it makes it harder for the enemy to encroach in your castle. And you build towers in the corner of the castle, and you post guards in there to keep a lookout to make sure there's no enemies creeping in or sneaking in. And you tell your people, stay inside, keep safe, defend our people and our food supply and our possessions. This is defensive thinking. The focus is on preserving. Your energy goes into protecting what you have, not expanding or advancing. You're reacting to threats, but you're not out reshaping the world. Now, is building a castle to protect your people and possessions from the enemy contending for the kingdom? Of course it is. Did Jude's urgent plea to contend for the faith include defending and protecting it against the apostates who were creeping into the church? Certainly, for sure. This has been his focus in the last two messages, verses 5 through 12. Jude is equipping us to defend the most holy faith against those who bring unbelief, arrogance, and immorality. And he's also saying, guard yourselves against false worship, compromising the truth, and thwarting God's authority. But as the ruler of your little kingdom, you know that just sitting in your castle and defending it is not a healthy strategy to grow. Long term, it will not produce good results. If your kingdom is going to grow and prosper, you need to get out of your castle and push back the resistance, gain new territory. You need an offensive tactic and a new outlook. You need an offensive mindset. You need warriors. You need warriors with a clear mission. Instead of hiding behind the walls of your castle, you need to ride out boldly. Take territory from the enemy. Free people who are enslaved. Advance your kingdom's cause and values. This is offensive thinking. You're pursuing victory. You're not just avoiding loss. You're not afraid of danger because you've been trained and equipped for the mission. You don't just want to survive. The goal is to conquer. And this is where Jude takes his letter in our text today. He's giving the warrior instructions. He's giving us the offensive playbook, how to contend for the faith offensively. As a king in your little empire, you need a castle to protect and guard. But you also need a warrior to conquer and overcome. Jude's urgent plea to contend for the faith moves from defense to offense. He moves from a castle mindset to a warrior mindset with one command: keep yourself in the love of God. From a Greek grammar standpoint, there's only one command in this list of instructions. The word keep is the only word that appears as an imperative. The other actions in Jude's how-to list are what are called participles, which means they are dependent on the phrase, keep yourself. At the center of Jude's offensive playbook is this: keep yourself in the love of God. But by what means, you may ask? How do we do that? Well, first, in verse 17 through 19, I believe the first way is by preparing your mind. Look what he says. Dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus foretold. They said, in the last days. Remember what the apostles foretold. Well, what did the apostles prophesy? And he quotes Peter. He says, in the last days, scoffers will come following their own evil desires. Paul says in Timothy, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith. We are living in the last days. Amen? We're living in the church age. The church age started at Pentecost, and it'll end when Christ comes back again. So it's been a long 2,000 years of the last days. I believe what Jude is telling us here is to get your mind right. We must take on a kingdom mindset. We have to digest the current affairs in the world around us from a kingdom mindset. Otherwise, when we watch the news or we see the moral decay around us, we can lose hope and become disheartened. If we are thinking from a secular worldview, our spirits and our hopes will rise and fall with elections, with Supreme Court rulings, and many other things. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And we look forward to his return and reign. Philippians 3:20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." We should not be surprised about the moral decay of the world. This is what the prophets foretold. Instead, Peter gives us this advice. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." Brothers and sisters, if we're going to keep ourselves in the love of God, we must prepare and shape our minds with a biblical worldview. We must leave the complacency of the castle and take on the mindset of a warrior, putting on the mind of Christ, renewing our minds daily on what is holy and pleasing to him. So continuing in Jude's offensive playbook on how to keep yourself in the love of God, he says there are three things that you need to commit to. Three things to commit yourself to. And the first is building yourself up in the most holy faith. This is an image of construction, like building a house or a barn with materials, bricks, and blocks and 2x4s. It's like Jude was saying, hey, Jesus Christ and the apostles, they laid the foundation. Now it's time to build. Now it's time to go vertical, to use a construction term. Spiritually, it means growing and maturing in the faith, in knowledge and love and obedience to God, encouraging each other to do the same. Building each other up involves encouragement. Kim and I have had the privilege this summer to go to one of our grandson's baseball games. And you know, it's that age, 8 and 9 years old, when their teammates start pitching to them. And you know, they're just strong enough to throw the ball really hard, but they're young enough to not know where it's going. And so for these batters to stand in there and hit, it takes courage. And so the coach, he's a good coach, he's always telling the teammates on the bench, cheer for the guy up, cheer for Roman, cheer for him. And so you'll hear for like one pitch, they'll be like, go Roman, go Roman. And then it gets deathly silent. Well, why does the coach ask them to do that? Why does the coach ask them to encourage? Because he knows that that encouragement will help the batter standing there facing this wild pitches, will give them courage to stand against the fear. It builds their confidence. It helps them know the teammates are behind them. Encouragement, it's important. Thessalonians 5:1 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as you are doing." But Jude gives a subject to his encouragement. It's not just pom-poms and applause. It's building each other up in your most holy faith. It's personal. It's their faith. The same faith that he refers to in verse 3 of this book, that was once and for all entrusted to the saints. It's the perfect faith. I know of no other way, better way, to build each other up in the most holy faith than to spend time in God's Word. We need to spend more time reading it, teaching it, listening to it, expounding on it, studying it, debating it, memorizing it, quoting it, sharing it. The Bible is absolutely central to the Christian faith. It is the foundation, the authority, and the guide for everything Christians believe in. Kent Hughes says this, and I quote, "You cannot be profoundly influenced by that which you do not know." If we are to encourage and build each other up in the most holy faith, we must know what the faith is. And the Bible is the foundation. It's the authority, the guide. Romans 15:4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope." The first commitment in keeping ourselves in the love of God is to encourage each other with the truth of God's Word. Jude says, "Build yourselves up in the most holy faith." And the second commitment we must make is to pray in the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." What does Jude mean by praying in the Spirit? Praying in the Spirit is praying under the guidance and influence and power of the Holy Spirit. It's an alignment with God's will, not just our own thoughts or emotions. J. Vernon McGee tells of a little cross that was given to him by a Venezuelan missionary, and on that cross was printed this definition of prayer. "Prayer is the Holy Spirit speaking in the believer through Christ to the Father." When we pray in the Spirit, we align our hearts to His will. We allow Him, the Holy Spirit, to shape our desires to match God's. Praying in the Spirit is not just airing out our grocery list of wants. Yeah, petitions are part of our prayer time, that's for sure. But the disciples, when they asked Jesus how to pray, got an example called the Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer, we observe multiple things: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Those are big words, some of them. But that's an acronym for ACTS. Our praying in the Spirit should include all of those. And Paul says we should pray without ceasing. You know, we are so programmed in our society today for outcomes. If we don't see the outcomes, we change the process, right? Well, this unfortunately gets in the way of our theology on prayer. We might pray for something or someone for a couple of weeks, and if the outcome doesn't happen, we change the process, which unfortunately means we usually stop. Paul says, don't stop praying. Independent of the outcome, don't stop praying. And the third commitment we must make is wait for the mercy of Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Jude says we need to commit ourselves to thinking about eternity. Paul says in Titus that our faith and knowledge rests on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of the time. Now, if you're a runner and have ever run a race, you know the importance of the finish line, right? My daughter and I, in a couple of weeks, are planning to run a marathon. Now, I can tell you from experience that during those 26 miles, you think a lot about the finish line. You count down the miles. You continually do the analysis. Do I have enough to finish? When you experience the agony and the mental pain and the physical exertion, the finish line just can't come quick enough. But the goal is the finish line. That's what compels you to keep going. That's what motivates you to keep plugging step after step. It's what drives you forward. I believe that's what Jude is talking about. Contending for the faith can be agonizing at times. We might question if we can make it. But keep the finish line in your mind. Let it be the motivation to keep you and yourself in the faith. To keep going, to keep contending. Jude reminds the Christians, the beloved, that when you leave the castle and take on the mindset of a warrior, you need to commit to building each other up in the most holy faith. You need to pray in the Spirit and remember the mercy of Jesus will take you to eternity. These three commitments are instructions for the believers, for the beloved, the people in the church, those who are in faith and in good standing. But then there's a shift, and in verse 22 and verse 23, Jude becomes missional in his instructions. And he describes three groups of people that need our special attention. He says, this is how you need to contend for the faith. This is how I want you to interact with these three groups of people. And he describes those who doubt, those who are in danger, and those who are deeply corrupted. He says, to keep yourself in the love of God, you must conduct yourself with Christian grace by having mercy on those who doubt. Having mercy on those who doubt means to have compassion, to offer help. Those people struggling with their faith, their hearts are toward God, but maybe they haven't experienced a difficult situation in life and they feel God has left them down or abandoned them, and they're struggling. I want to encourage us, brothers and sisters, if you see that, if you see people at that position where they question and are doubting, don't be judgmental. Don't be condemning. Jude says, be merciful. Show mercy. I recently had a conversation with a young person who is in just that scenario, struggling with believing, wanting to believe, but just feeling abandoned. And the fear was that this person could not go to church and be honest about that. What a shame. The church is for people that are struggling. The church is a hospital for sinners. It's not a shrine for the saints. And this person put me on to a YouTube series called You Can't Say That in Church. Brothers and sisters, if this is where we need to be honest with each other, I'm struggling, where we pick each other up, where we show mercy to those that are struggling. Reminds me of the story in Mark where a man had a demon-possessed son, and he went to his disciples, Jesus' disciples, and said, can you cast it out? No, they couldn't. And so he brings him to Jesus. And Jesus says, but if you can do anything, the man says, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, but help my unbelief. We all struggle with that at times. Jude is saying, be merciful to these people. Be patient. Love them. They need encouragement, a listening ear, a soft touch. be merciful to those who doubt. And the second group of people that Jude refers to here, he says, save others, snatch others from the fire. These people are in danger. These people have turned their backs. They may be rebelling. How do we snatch people today from the fire? In real life, this can look like speaking hard truth to someone who's making bad choices. It's calling people to account. It's calling a friend out of sin with compassion and with urgency. Sharing the gospel with someone. Praying persistently for someone who is spiritually lost. And I know this is a challenge. We want results immediately. We want them now. God's timing is different than our timing. It's difficult. But we need to have that saving mindset, that desire that people are lost and are going to a destination that's not good. They're going to hell. C.T. Studd, who passed away in 1931, was an educator at Cambridge University, and he was a top cricket player of his time. And at one point in his life, he became a believer, and he changed his life completely and went into the mission field, ended up in Africa. And he was quoted as saying, "Someone to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." C.T. was a warrior, a Jude-like Christian. He knew what it meant to contend. Saving those from the fire. This is a spiritual rescue, bringing someone back to truth and life. And lastly, live with integrity with this third group. The third group, it says, show others mercy mixed with fear. Now, whenever I hear the word mixed, I have red flags, because how much of which do you mix? You mix more fear, you mix more mercy. We need the Holy Spirit's direction on that. But mix mercy with fear. These are people in this third group who are hardened, unbelieving, reprobates, who hate everything about our faith. We may know people like that. This group, it appears, may be growing larger in our culture and in our day to day. But be merciful to those in deep sin. Don't get pulled in, though. Mercy mixed with fear. Show compassion, but stay holy. Hate the sin, even its appearance, while loving the person. This is what Peter tells us. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So, those who doubt, conduct yourself with gentleness, show mercy. Those in danger, act urgently, inviting them to God's saving grace. Those deeply corrupted, show mercy with caution, conducting yourself with integrity. In conclusion, Jude's instructions for the warrior, the offensive playbook. Remember to keep your mind right, a kingdom mindset. Build one another up in the most holy faith. Pray in the Spirit. Keep the finish line in sight, waiting for Jesus to take you to eternity. Have mercy on those who doubt. Urgently share the gospel that can save people from the fire of hell. And live with integrity among the heathen. This, my friends, is keeping yourself in the love of God. This is contending for the most holy faith. Remember the tune, the melodic line. Those who are kept for Christ are those who keep themselves in the love of God. May God bless His word. May God bless you this week as you think and meditate on this word from Him. Amen. Worship team, you may come forward.